Welcome to Uptime Community Church. My name is Shane, aka the Black Swan, and today is May 7th, 2024. We have a great lineup for you tonight, and I'm going to introduce them shortly, but I want to make sure that if you're watching this and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you really do. You really need to know him. How do you know him? It's real simple. You just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, rose again on the third day, and will never die again. He did it for once. He nailed all of our iniquities to the cross once and for all. Past, present, future. And if you believe in him and you accept what he did for us on the cross, that he shed his blood for us, we are now justified by God the Father. He justifies us because of what Jesus Christ himself did on the cross. And because of that, we are sealed also by the Holy Spirit. So now you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit on your side. So the question is, who can be against you? And if you don't know him, just reach out to one of us here on the panel. Reach out privately if you want, or in the community tab, and just say, I need the Lord, I need salvation, or that you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right here, right now on this channel. So without any further ado, let's bring on the panelists for tonight.
Let's see here.
There you go. All right. Mr. Bob, how's it going tonight?
I'm doing great. I have to take Greg's place today. He's enjoying an incredible wedding anniversary with his wife this weekend or this week. So he's on vacation. So I'm kind of behind the controls here right now. So I'm not as fluent as he is. So, but I'm doing great. And let's all pray for Greg and his wife to have an incredible time. They're out of town right now. So pray for them and keep them in your prayers. But, I'm doing great. There's a lot going on and really excited. A lot to talk about. I mean, there's so much to talk about, and I'll just leave it at that.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Not thanks that it's shorter, but thanks for that. Yeah. Kevin.
Yes. Kevin. Yeah. We had a good conversation on Sunday night, didn't we? For those who missed it, the very first episode of Rev 5 was on Shane's channel, Black Swan Revelations, and I definitely encourage you to go see it, because we had about an hour and a half, a little bit longer, actually, than that, but it was an amazing conversation we had that night. It was amazing how the Holy Spirit worked his ways throughout everyone that night, connecting all kinds of things, and we did not really know what we were going to talk about, and Shane kind of did, but we didn't all know until just right at the time. And the way that it worked out was pretty amazing. I don't say this very often, but it was definitely a blessed time. Not to say that Uptime isn't, but this one was a little bit different. It was very special. So thanks for inviting me onto that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thank you for that. John, how's it going? Bonjour, mon ami.
Bonjour les ceux qui parlent français. Hello, those who speak French. A lot of people are watching you from Canada, guys. So, I mean, well, Shane is from Canada, but this is a big topic, and many emails I received there that's French people from Montreal or around. We did have a good week. We're still Bible study. Between 12, 15 people, and we're getting through verse by verse, and we had a really good time this week, and a lot of people are asking questions, and most of the people that, well, all the people that came by now are saved, but, you know, you can always email me if you have questions and everything. You don't have to be in the Bible study, but we can assist you and we can talk to you, like Shane said, either privately or anyway. But I had a good time this week. God was great with us, and it was a blessing indeed. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for that. You know, that opening is fantastic with, I love Jeff Goldblum. I think he's amazing. I just think, like, whenever he's in a movie, it's just captivating. And in Independence, I believe that's where that scene was.
Yeah.
When all the satellites were being infected by the alien race. And they're like, they're using our satellites against us. That was a great show. That was a great movie.
Yeah, very nice.
But I like
the programming.
Yep. Yeah. Getting us all
programmed out now.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought about Jeff and I thought about one. Maybe we can dive into this a little bit. But Jeff was in, obviously, Jurassic Park. And they're having dinner. And they were giggling around the table going, you know, we can mix DNA with this, with the mosquito, with this and that, and take all the blood and all this stuff and start mixing it. And we can actually bring these dinosaurs back to life and we can have tours and all this kind of stuff. And then Jeff Goldblum, he's like, you guys are just, you're just like messing around with this stuff. Like, this is just like toss salad or something. I forget what he said exactly, but he's like, you're not even asking the question if you should be doing this kind of stuff. And you're taking it so lightly. And I thought that's, if you think about artificial intelligence, which I pay attention to a little bit, I've read Elon Musk's autobiography, and this guy was on Joe Rogan a few years ago saying the artificial intelligence, like you got to be aware, you got to be aware of its potential to just ramp up, and they'll get to a point where there's no return. And Joe asked Elon, he said, how far away are we from that? And Elon said, it might be too late. Like, it could be too late. So then he made his own company, said, you know what? If you can't beat them, join them. So I find that fascinating. What do you think there, Bob?
Well, I do know that AI is going to play a role in what's going to be happening here in the tribulation after the rapture. One good example is a secretary of the Air Force has just proclaimed that he is comfortable with having AI pilot the F-16s. Okay, they've been doing that for a while, and now they want the AI to pilot them for the most part. And that's not good because, you know, demons, you know, basically control the AI. And, you know, that goes back to, where'd John go? But that goes back to, in Dreams and Visions, where I've seen here in this channel, we see American jets with American markings on them. People see them blowing up neighborhoods and shooting at people, shooting at Americans, dropping bombs all over America, and they're American jets. And we're like, do we get traitors? We used to think that a bunch of Muslims hijack them, and then they go on a shooting spree, a bomb, basically a bombathon, and dropping bombs all over the place using our own jets. But now it's starting to make sense. It's the AI that's going to be using these jets against us, because ultimately the AI is basically human bad. In the end, it always goes that direction. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
They talk about these AIs, like, why do AI always seem to lean left? Why does it always seem to lean towards human genocide? Yep. Every time, it's inherently evil, you know, but that's just because of sin nature. It's demonic control, and the AI never comes up with anything that is beneficial for the flourishing human race. It's never done it. It's all about control and about getting rid of us.
Yeah,
it never goes in a positive direction for us ever.
That's crazy. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we know that the mark of the beast that's coming during the tribulation has an effect on people. People who have the mark of the beast are no longer eligible for salvation. So there's a pretty big change that goes on there, because everyone has a chance to return to the Lord except for those who have taken the mark. So that's something that's called out. That's way different than pretty much anything else. So could it be, you know, we talked about multiple times here, could it be a biometric / economic thing that, you know, possibly even changes your DNA. So, you know, all kinds of things that could go on with that. But one other thing that Elon Musk wants to do is go colonize Mars, put a chip in your brain and go colonize Mars and be immortal. But the Bible doesn't talk about humans going and colonizing Mars. As a matter of fact, the tribulation, all the things that are happening are happening on the Earth. So there's no wrath being poured out on people on Mars. So I don't see that happening. However, there will be people in this chat that will say there's an impossibility to go to Mars because of radiation and so forth. There'll be other people that says that Mars is just a light in the sky and it's not an actual physical place. But let's just presume for a second that the Earth is a globe and Mars actually does exist. I think that people could ultimately get there, but it's that we're not going to, I don't think this world is long enough as it is right now in order to have that happen, you see? So that's probably just yet another reason why we're all believing that we're in the end times here and that Jesus is going to return soon. Otherwise there'd be no flesh alive. And Bob, you just made a point, which is if the AI turns on the world, there would be no flesh alive. I mean, there would, you know, it'd be worse than the Matrix. So, yeah, I think all those things are adding up that's showing that technology is increasing so much that, and then that God says, what can't these humans do, right? I mean, it's just like the Tower of Babel, right? It's just like if the world, people of the world come together against God, nothing good comes from that. And obviously, one of the things that they're trying to do throughout all this, Bob, is that they're trying to get immortality. They're trying to get immortality through the wrong method. There is only one method of immortality, and that's to be changed in a blink of an eye, right? That's to go through a resurrection process, and the only way to go through that is by what you said earlier, Shane, which is being justified. Yeah. And the only way you can do that is by accepting the sacrifice that Jesus Christ when he died for us. So, see, they're trying to subvert that, and those are God's rules, and they always try to subvert God's rules, don't they?
Yep. John, what are your thoughts?
Well, as for me, I'll go with the Bible. Paul is telling us many times, be aware of the devil and his devices. Yeah. Nothing good is coming out of that. Yeah. This is such a piece of garbage, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Matrix.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But it's a piece of garbage that the society created, or the devil created, so the society feels obligated to use it. If we go AI, now we do have restaurants in Montreal that there is no waiter anymore. It's a robot going into the tables, picking up orders and bringing the food. Little wow. Robots. Yeah. Wow. And they got that in two senior home too. Yeah. There's only one waitress in charge in case something happened, but now it's robots, stuff like this. Where are we going with that? What is the good about it? There's nothing good about it. So when they talk about going onto the other planets and stuff like this, I'm just saying to myself, we haven't figured out if the Earth is flat. No, it's a joke. But I knew Kevin would.
Kevin, if Greg was here, he'd play the L.M. Marzulli clip.
Yeah. Yeah,
horrible.
No, but seriously, we do have so much things. Like I don't remember, but in the 90s when they had the space shuttle, one flash up, one takeoff was 3 meals a day worth of all the population on the Earth for 3 or 4 weeks, something like this. Yeah. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I think it's not going the right way. And even though you paint those rainbow in your front window in your houses and you say, oh, everything is well, that's the answer. The train is unrushing freight train in the tunnel. And you won't have any room to escape.
And it's not flat. It's a sphere.
There you go. There it is. Here's the thing, John, is that this shouldn't surprise anybody that this technology is advancing the way that it is. And the fact that they're actually saying, hey, we need to be careful with this, but we're still going to go ahead with it anyway. It's just like what Shane talked about Jurassic Park. Like, should you do it? Well, you know, maybe not, but that doesn't matter. We have to do it. You know, that's what it must say. We just got to do it. So, you know, if it's going to be done, well, then I'm going to do it because I can do it the right way. Well, you know, but none of that is actually getting you any closer to God. I mean, none of that is actually developing a relationship with the Savior. I mean, so like I said, their priorities are mixed up. But that's like among the electorate of different nations as well. Their priorities are messed up. And I know I said I wasn't going to talk about politics, but there is something to be said here regarding people's, you know, focus today. And there are many people being deceived and having a carrot over here and people just going to it and going to the next thing and the next cause and the next thing. And it's like, but that's not what we're called to do. We are called to actually to be, to have self-control. Mm-hmm. We are called to have the gifts of the Spirit. We are here to be a steady force, not up and down and all over the place and being scared and afraid of the next thing that may come. We are not to live in fear. So I just want to encourage those who are out there that are seeing all this stuff to try to stay at an even keel, because it is very difficult sometimes to not get emotional about what we're seeing out there. I have to control myself all the time not to go off on people. I mean, I brought this up on Sunday night, and I think it's very critical to bring it up again, which is the last, if you can bring up the last verse of the book of Jonah, it's chapter 4, the very last. If you could show that on the screen, then I'll
my interface, I can't do that here. I can't.
You can't do that. Okay. So
I can.
Oh, you can. All right.
Yes. What's the last verse? You're not
going to be in charge of that.
The very last verse of Jonah, because it's a reminder to us to not be angry. It's a reminder to us to not be a Jonah. I mean, and it's difficult sometimes not to be a Jonah, because you see what's going on and you're just like, why can't you, God, why can't you just deal with all these people right now? And it's like, but if you smite them all, then is there any hope for them to actually come to the salvation of?
Yeah, there is, interesting.
And like, there's always an opportunity for repentance. John, how's that thing coming? Yes, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what this last verse talks about.
We could set this up a bit too while John's doing that. So basically, Jonah just witnessing to the whole city, walking around saying, "You got 40 days, you got 40 days," and then went to the popcorn store, went up on the hill, and he's like, "I'm going to watch the burn. I'm going to watch the burning game. Every one of these people are going to fry. And I'm going to get a ringside seat to watch this." And he's sitting there and thinking, and all of a sudden a plant grows up. He's like, finally, shade. And then all of a sudden an insect comes along, little caterpillar, starts chewing on it, taking it out. And all of a sudden Jonah is losing his marbles because this poor little innocent plant is gone. His life is over. And then we get to this right here. What is it? What does it say, John?
That's the last verse of Jonah, Jonah 4:11. "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle."
Yeah, I mean, so the Lord said just before that, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which come in a night and perished in a night. Should I not spare Nineveh?" In other words, shouldn't I have pity on the people who don't know their right hand from the left? That's how long-suffering God is. And that is a quality that we tend to lack quite a bit, is that pity and or long suffering for those who don't know the truth right now, who still have the opportunity to take it and to grasp that truth and to understand it and learn it. So I want to encourage everybody to not let somebody just keep on doing. That's called enablement. You don't want that. But what you want to do is you want to educate them in the truth. You want to teach them. You want to lead them towards the path. And after that, the Holy Spirit takes over. But the person needs to be open to it. But you've done your job. But what you can't do though is just bash the person down into the ground and wish them to die, because that's exactly what Jonah did, and the Lord rebuked him.
Yeah, right. Nothing about Jonah, too, is people say, well, Jonah just hated the Ninevites. Well, the thing is, Ninevites, they had their king was King Sennacherib, and the Ninevites built their kingdom on persecuting the Jews and killing Jews. Mm-hmm. It actually showed, I saw this video, they actually have at the British Museum, they have hieroglyphics of the Ninevites skinning Jews, hanging them, cutting their heads off, throwing the kids into these ravines and killing them. So essentially, they're almost pretty much like your modern day Muslims and Palestinians. Right. That's who they are.
Well, right? Nothing's changed in how many thousands of years, right?
Yeah, it's the same type of people still. So basically, Jonah, being a Jew, he had to go in there and say, "Hey, you know, imagine being a Jew going in there, and those people just and he came from just recently." All those Ninevites killing all his people. So imagine a Jew right now after October 7th going to all those Muslims that killed all those people on October 7th and going unto them and say, "Hey, you guys need to repent or else God's going to kill you all." You know, if I was Jonah, I had the same attitude towards them too. Say, "Hey, guys, repent, bye," and walk away, and hopefully they don't get the message. Yeah. But you see why Jonah was so mad? You know? Edom was, "I don't want to go there. I want them to all perish, Lord." Yeah. Forget about those guys. Okay. Right. And of course, he ended up getting eaten by a fish. And it was so drastic to get Jonah there. But finally, the Lord got him there. And what's interesting, I saw the math on the date. Check this out. The solar eclipse showed up. According to the solar eclipse, I might be wrong, but it said here, as one source I found, that they saw the eclipse on Elul 1. Okay. And 40 days after Elul 1 is what? Yom Kippur. The feast is a Day of Atonement. Didn't we just have that on August 21st, 2017?
Right.
Elul 1. And then it went 40 days. And then 41st day was Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. We just saw the exact same thing take place in 2017. The exact same timeline that the Ninevites saw, we just saw take place 7 years ago.
Wow.
All right.
You know what's interesting? John was looking at that website. It said Jonah 4:8 when you were talking about the eclipse. What was the day of the eclipse?
Jonah, how about that?
4:8.
Wow. Yep. And think about Jesus, too. Remember, Jesus showed up, and they think it was 30 AD where he died. His death, burial, and resurrection. People say he died in 30 AD. He also resurrected 30 AD too. Okay. Yeah. So he died, buried, resurrected 30 AD. Okay. Now Jesus said, "You guys are going to see, the only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah." Mm-hmm. Okay. So what followed Jerusalem 40 years later? The destruction of Jerusalem. 40. It wasn't 40 days. It was 40 years later. Mm-hmm. But it still fell within the parameters of that 40 count.
Right.
Right. And now we're in the midst of a 40 count right now. It started on April 8th and it ends on May 18th, 19th, give or take, whether you're starting counting May 8th as the first day. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we are in that ballpark too as well. Okay. Yeah. And we can go on and on and on about that, but a lot of stuff we already covered about what's happening on that day too.
And when did Israel become a nation? May 17th or 18th? 17th, right?
14th. Actually, May
14th.
15th. 14th, okay.
14th, 15th, something like that.
Yeah, and 15th in Israel, right?
Yeah, that's good because Robert Breaker talked about that. We always saw it was the 14th, Then yeah. I saw in that movie it was the 15th. Yeah. And yeah, but it's 1948 though.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting.
Okay. So, but anyhow, yeah, we are in the midst of that 40-day count. So a lot of people watching that. There's also a lot of people are concerned about what's going to be taking place tomorrow, May 8th. And I only say that because of what I'm watching on Global Rapture Watchers with Chris right now. They're, a lot of dreams and visions are coming into play right now, and the Lord is showing them something about May 8th. Now, I'm not saying that's the rapture, and I'm not mm-hmm. saying that's a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. But there's something about tomorrow that's significant. So keep your eyes open for that. Me, personally, I'll be honest, I went shopping today. I bought food, filled up my cabinets. I was like, I don't know what's going on tomorrow, man. I don't know if it's going to be a grid down. We're going to be in the dark until the 18th. I don't know. So
can I mention something from a comment in the chat? So USAF user said, on May 19th, when nothing happens, they won't have another thing to say about any of this. I don't think anybody here has said that anything is going to happen on May 19th. So I think that happens quite often, doesn't it, Bob? Where we talk about possibilities or dates and 40 days and this and that, and then people jump right on there and basically think. And I think that the reason why they do that, they think that we've said something. Because I think down deep inside, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think they want something to happen. They want the Lord to come back. And so they project that onto the chat and also onto us and say, you said the rapture is going to happen.
Yep.
But in fact, it's not. So I'm saying that's not necessarily a bad thing that they're looking for toward the Lord. But the problem is that they're going about it in the wrong way. Yep. And by projecting that onto us, it puts words into our mouth that we'd never say. And I and then they say, oh, nothing happened. What are you going to do now? And it's like the same thing that I was doing before. I'm going to keep on watching and I'm going to keep on talking about things. And just remember that never at one time has Bob, me, John, or Shane ever said that thus saith the Lord, it's going to happen on this day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's interesting too about that is, again, like I agree with you on that, is some people come in hot, but you also have to understand that as a pre-tribber, we're going to be wrong for 99.99% of the time until we're right. Like we're wrong today, right now. Okay, did Jesus come just yet? No. Okay, we're wrong. We're wrong, we're wrong, we're wrong. But somebody's going to be right. Like one day, there's going to be thousands, if not millions of people will be right. It's just you don't get a chance to go, I told you.
But how can someone be wrong when you're not saying that it's going to happen? I mean, so there's nothing to be wrong about, see? So people will say, oh, you set this date or you set that date. And I always say, look, God set the date long ago in eternity past. Humans can't set the day of the rapture.
Yeah.
And then Caesar will come in and say, well, how long do we have?
Yeah.
Well, no human knows.
Yeah.
We have that long until God takes us.
It feels like it's a crime to take a guess and just go, what? It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, a year, whatever. It's like, oh, all of a sudden you committed a crime.
Go to the Bible. What Paul tells us. Watch. If you don't watch, I'm sure it's written somewhere. I don't have the verse, of course, but I'm sure it's written somewhere, somehow, some shapes. There is something about the rapture written, maybe not a physical date, but there is a pinpoint somewhere, somehow. Nobody found it. So Paul is not telling us that for the fun of it. Just watch, because if you don't watch, well, the train is going to hit you and boom, that's it. You're done.
Yeah,
the
morning Jesus after
the rapture is going to be bad. But I'm sure that's what we do. We look for the blessed hope. Titus 2:13. Wake up, people. Wake up.
That's the nature of what we do. That's the nature of a watchman. Okay. We are the only people in the world with this type of dynamic of watching. Mm. That's why the devil attacks us. Because look, the devil and the demons, they hate people who watch. Because if you watch, you stay awake. They don't like people who are awake. That's why you got people like that to come on. Which I just banned that guy, by the way. When these people come on there, I just ban them. Yeah. But when they come and start attacking us and stuff, and being stupid, not thinking with their head, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't know the date of the rapture. But it's like this, okay? It's like, imagine somebody is leaving Florida, all right, and they're going to go visit you in Chicago, all right? And I'm like, they are going to arrive at 5:15 p.m. tomorrow, 5:15 and 26 seconds. You can't make that prediction. You know they're coming, but nobody's like, you don't know what the weather's going to be. You don't know what the roads are going to be like, construction. I don't care what your GPS says, because it says it on there. That don't matter. They might be breaking the speed limit, going twice the speed. You don't know. All you know is that he's coming. But like Sister Amy was talking about last week, when they get close, when that person's getting close to your house, when you see them coming up the road in the car, now you're like, okay, they'll be here in 2 minutes. Okay, you see them coming. Oh, I'm rounding. I'm coming into your neighborhood now. It'll probably be about 3 minutes. So the rapture's going to be that way too. We won't see it coming from that far away. But when it gets close, the Holy Spirit will begin to let us know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
It's at hand.
Like our seconds will ring. And the thing is, it's the same thing as the internet company. When you have an appointment, we'll be there between 8 and 5. What you do, you watch. What you do, you don't go to sleep. You don't cook anything long. You have a sandwich, a coffee, and you watch because you want to open the door. You want your internet to be fixed.
The difference between God and the internet company is that God comes right on time, though. And the internet company might tell you 8 to 5, but they may come at 6. Yeah. But you know what? It's absolutely not a crime for a watcher to warn. What is a crime is when the watcher knows and doesn't warn.
Exactly.
Bingo. So there is no penalty for the watcher to warn and have something not
known.
And those people who say that, they do wear a watch, though.
But they probably haven't read the Old Testament either in Ezekiel 33. So listen, we have to, again, that's back to what the Lord said. They don't know their right hand from their left. They just don't know what they say. Yeah. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even know what they're doing. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that if the devil knew that what would happen afterwards, they would have never crucified him. You see?
It's interesting. Like for me, and this is something, I don't know, I got to figure this out, because I think I have a serious disease. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be a police officer at one time, but part of the stipulation of being a police officer is if they call you on the radio and say, hey, we have an emergency at this district, you should be there in a reasonable amount of time. My fear is, because I'm GPS challenged, I have a disease, I would maybe go in the wrong direction and the cops are like, Shane, where are you? Like, we're in District 5. Oh, I thought you meant District 55. Sorry, I'll be 30 minutes. I'm there. And I would drive around the block again and again while my GPS is losing its marbles because I can't find the place. And I think that's how some people are when they just look at the Bible, but they don't open it up. They're all over the map. They're like, well, you can't be right. He didn't come last night. He didn't show up. Jesus didn't come. So all of you watchers are wrong, all of you. And it's like, well, we're always talking about seasons, high time. And we're like, man, if you put everything together and you start piecing this stuff together, all of a sudden you can start seeing the dots starting to connect. And then it's actually more of a surprise if we're going to be here 10 years from now. It would be more surprising. Whereas before, it was more surprising that something was going to happen within the next 5 or 10 years. But I feel like we're on borrowed time right now. We're on extended. This is overtime.
Uptime, overtime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
overtime. You know, that passage that we read in Jonah and Jesus saying to his father, forgive them. It's the same character, isn't it? It's the same. It's the Jesus saying this, I and the Father are one. So God had pity and said, look at these people. They don't know their right hand from their left. Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the exact same thought process that's going through God and Jesus' mind, because they are one. So for those who say that Jesus is not God, Jesus himself said that he is. As a matter of fact, they said, when he was talking about Abram, they said, well, why are you talking about Abraham? Like, you've been there before. And basically Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He used that word. He used the name of God, I am. And that is really what kicked off that this is blasphemy, right? Because they knew what he was saying. See, those were the most learned scholars in Judaism, and they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They said, you're only 30 years old. How can you have been there? Yeah. And he said, before Abraham was, I am.
That's so what he said in Gethsemane.
He told them, I am God.
Yeah, right. That's cool. So here's a question.
And he said that too, and everybody fell.
Here's a question.
I am.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, hypothetical, if you can understand the book of Revelation 100%, on a scale from 0 to 1, we're going full matrix, you can understand the book of Revelation 100%, do you think you could be accurate within, let's give you a little bit of parameters, a day, a month or so of when Jesus would return? Do you think complete understanding would give you an understanding of when Jesus would come back for his church?
While you're in the tribulation, it's going to be much easier to understand and know when he's going to come back, especially at the midpoint. However, even after that, though, there's going to be a shortening of the days. So how is that exactly going to factor in?
Yeah,
and so forth. But
they're gonna be aware of the calendar, the schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what you're going to know, that when the abomination of desolation is set up, the remnant's going to be protected for 1,260 days. We know that. The Bible, that Revelation 12 says that. So yes, at least at the midpoint, you'll know that 1,260 days, if you can count them all accurately, you will be able to get to the end.
So do you think that Jesus knows when he's coming back?
Oh, yes.
Right now, today.
Yeah.
Well, he's coming back for when? His second coming or the rapture?
The rapture.
Second coming.
I think he knows both.
Second coming, yes, he knows.
I think he knows both.
Okay, because the reason why I bring that up is because the book of Revelation was handed on a silver platter to John, and he was given the book of Revelation by his father.
Right.
So that we can now understand as well.
I got a really good question today in the group from a lady, right?
For sure.
She said we were talking about the rapture and everything, and she said, you think Jesus is late coming now for the rapture because he's not done with the New Jerusalem? He's supposed to fix it for us, right? And that's a good question.
But doesn't it put a limit on God in saying, oh,
No, can't. No, I know, but still, it's a good question. What's happening?
I don't think it is a good question, John.
I think
it's a terrible question. And the reason why is because God is not human.
Yeah,
God doesn't need this much time in order to do this and that. Sure, he can take the amount of time, but he doesn't necessarily need that. And it also does not say that the Lord is delaying. Okay? It does not say that he is delaying.
No, it doesn't say, but all the prophecies that has to go through before the rapture all gone by. Right now, we're just playing with the calendar. That's it. All the prophecies are gone. Is there any prophecy left? Unless I'm
sure, mistaken? There's plenty of prophecy that's left. There's all kinds
before
of prophecy.
Before the rapture?
We don't know whether or not it's before the rapture or not. We don't know if Jeremiah 49 or Isaiah 17 or Ezekiel 38 and 39 are going to happen before the rapture. I think a lot of people think that 38 and 39 is definitely going to happen after the rapture.
Okay.
But certainly something like Isaiah 17, you can't say that must happen after the rapture.
Right. Yeah, it has to happen after the age of grace is over, because if there is no age of grace happening right now, then why didn't any of those events take place 2,000 years ago? You have 2,000 years to get those wars done with.
Yeah.
But no, everything got paused.
Yeah, exactly.
For 2,000 years. Yeah. There's this 70th final week of Daniel's 70-week prophetic calendar, that final week, there's a lot in there. That thing is jam-packed with so much stuff and wars and everything. And the book of Revelation lays out everything that takes place within the confines of this 70th week.
Yeah.
All right? It's not that the book of Revelation is not for the age of grace.
Yeah.
Okay? It's for the Jews in Daniel's 70th week.
Yeah.
Can I mention one thing regarding Ezekiel? And that is that one's a little special because I'm actually telling Johnny in chat to read the verse before because it says, well, doesn't it say in the Bible that even the Son of God doesn't know what day it is? And I said, read the verse before because we talked about that last week because you got to have, you got to know what that verse is speaking about in context. But in regards to Ezekiel, that one's a special prophecy, John, because Ezekiel 38-39 war, God does it supernaturally. And why? It says so that the world will know that these are my people, Israel.
Yep.
That is different than the Damascus thing. That is different than Elam in Jeremiah 49. It is different even than Psalm 83, which is a prayer. But Ezekiel 38-39 basically says, I am doing this to show the world that these are my people, Israel. And to Bob's point, why does he need us here, the body of Christ, at that point? See, he's changed his focus over, hasn't he? Right now, he is really focused on the church, meaning the body of Christ, and us continuing to preach the gospel and to bring in as many into the harvest as he possibly can so he can harvest that rapture and bring us all home.
Yeah.
But then after that, the focus changes, and it goes directly on to Israel, and you've got 144,000 witnesses. You have two witnesses sent by God. You have destruction that occurs. You have the abomination of desolation that's in the temple. Yeah. So much focus is put on Israel at that point, and certainly you're going to have people come against Israel, especially since the United States is going to be completely decimated, not just due to the rapture, but through other means as well that Bob's talked about. And so they're going to see an opening there in order to take plunder and whatever from the nation of Israel. But God is going to stop that in his tracks in order to say to the people in the world, these are my people.
You know, that's a good point there, Kevin. That's think about what you just said. I'm going to let the world know that Israel, the Jews, are my people. Now I'm really going to shine a light on that. Now he does that during 70th week. He's not doing that now because they're still in blindness. Right. We are his people now, but once we're removed, then he focuses on Israel. Now think about that. Look around the world. Look what's happening right now. Every city has Jew haters coming out of the woodworks protesting from river to the sea. Palestine shall be free, and they want to wipe out all the Jews. So all the Jew haters are coming out, and they are covering the entire globe, chanting death to all Jews, death to Israel. All right. Why do you think they're all coming out now? Why do you think is it just because they're going to come out and then everything's going to die down, then they're going to go crawl back into their nest, into their holes, and disappear for another 5 more years? No, I think the stage is being set now for the tribulation. This is why you see all those protests out there, right? It's Daniel's 70th week, and we got that many haters out there. And guys, when the rapture takes place, if you want to get saved, you have to go through Israel to get saved, okay? Yeah. Right now, you don't need Israel. You don't need corporate Israel, all right? But after the rapture, you have to go through corporate Israel to get saved. And if you become a Christian, which would basically be a proselyted Gentile into Israel during the tribulation, everybody's going to come after you. All these Jew haters, they're all out everywhere right now, Chicago and all the cities. They're going to spread out everywhere. Okay, and guess what? After the rapture, they're going after all the Jews and anybody that's a sympathizer with Jews, which would be the tribulation saints.
Well, let's dive into that a little bit.
Annette said, so listen, we're not talking about the actions of the nation state of Israel, nor the terrorist group Hamas, which runs Gaza. We are not talking about those actions. She said both sides are guilty. We are not talking about sides here of the war. Bob is specifically talking about people, about people that are actually not even engaged actively in the war. They are saying things like, give Palestine back their land. It was never the Jews to begin with, and this and that. So when you have countries that are going to come against Israel with a force of their armies, and God is going to destroy them supernaturally, what is God saying to the world at that point? For those who are saying that it's not their land and this and that. certainly God, if God thought that that wasn't their land, he would let that land be attacked and destroyed, correct? Or occupied by somebody else. Now, the Jewish people have already gotten that punishment. They were dispersed for almost 2,000 years. But you know what? They're not going to be dispersed again. They are going to be protected. A remnant's going to be protected in the wilderness. But we know that during the Ezekiel 38-39 events, God is basically saying to the world, it is their land. Yes, these are my people. No, you are incorrect. And no matter what you do in order to come against them with all the force of your armies and all kinds of nations, you're not going to be able to take them down unless I allow it. Unless I have the Antichrist being set up into the temple and go ahead and doing a blaspheme. And then at that point, is all of Israel going to flee to the mountains? No, all of Israel's not going to flee to the mountains. A remnant is going to be smart enough to recognize that and heed Jesus's words and is going to flee to the mountains because they are going to be protected. And that is going to be the faith-based remnant that ultimately comes out of Israel. Because right now we have dry bones with no spirit. They have risen up and they are a people, but they do not have the spirit within them. But there will be a remnant that ultimately does. And in order to get there, you have to preserve the nation until that period of time, right? And so God is going to do that. And anybody who's saying it's not their land, they just don't understand anything, really, because they certainly haven't read the Bible. The Bible is very clear on this, that Israel is God's land and Jerusalem is the apple of his eye. He has his name inscribed in Jerusalem. It's right there. So if you go and search out these matters, you will have more appreciation for what God has set up and what God has done. But if you don't know any of those things, then you're going to cry from the river to the sea and not even know that you're calling for the annihilation of the entire nation of Israel. They don't even know what they're saying. It's the right hand doesn't know what the left's doing. Bob, if you ask them, what does it mean? They don't know. They just don't know.
That's interesting.
They're being led by a spiritual principality. And it's global. It's amazing. I was telling John, they all came out of the woodwork so fast. I was like, where did all these Jew-hating people come from in our cities? Oh, hold on a second. Our borders have been open for the last three to four years. So they imported all the Jew-hating people into our country. Yeah. And now they're protesting, so that's basically what happened.
Here's kind of an interesting, maybe we could talk about this a little bit, is regarding the left hand not knowing the right hand. I've been doing a little bit of a deep dive with Ephraim and Manasseh and birthrights and all this kind of stuff. And there's some scriptures. I don't know if you guys know these scripture verses offhand. I'm not sure where they are exactly, but in regards to Joseph doesn't know who he is. Ephraim doesn't know who they are. And it's kind of interesting, out of all the names that you can pick to be named Israel, if you will, these people come in 1947 and they call themselves Israel. But I've always been kind of fascinated with the idea as to, do they know which tribe they're from? And if not, does it matter to them what tribe they're from? Because we know the 10 northern tribes were absorbed into Assyria, including the Nineveh area, like Joseph, the half tribe of Manasseh, half tribe of Ephraim. They were absorbed into Assyria. And then all the other 10 northern tribes, the only ones that weren't, were Judah, Benjamin, and some of the Levites. They got basically evicted from Israel. And when I'm talking about Israel, I'm talking about biblical, historical Israel, basically was kicked out of the north. And the Levites were evicted and sent to Judah. And then eventually we know the story where they got carried off to Babylon. And then they came back. And then during Jesus' day, that whole area is called Judea and then Samaria. So it's kind of interesting. Like, you would almost think, if you're going to come back to that area, you would almost think after thousands of years that you would call yourself Judah or Benjamin or something, especially in the southern region. North, I get it. But when you look at the West Bank, You look at Gaza, you look at Lebanon, there's no mention of the tribe of Reuben or that, or the tribe of Gad or the tribe, the half tribe of Manasseh on the other side of the Jordan. It's all the Ammonites, all the Moabites on that side. I'm just kind of like, sometimes I think about that. I'm like, what is actually going on? Like, why would you pick Israel if you're not from the tribe of Judah? Or do they even care if they're from a particular tribe? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I've spoken to many Jewish people, and they don't even believe that either Moses ever existed, and they certainly don't believe any of those things that he did. John, they think it's all legend and story and stuff like that. They actually don't believe it. You see, there are so many more Jewish people that do not believe what's written in the Old Testament than do. And it's extremely sad because they've gotten deceived so much that they can't even believe in God anymore and what he's done for their people. They just basically sometimes they'll use it as a way to get in here or to do this and that. But I mean, you know, but at the same time, though, it's just like you call yourself a Jew, but you're not really. You're not, because you don't even accept what God has done for the Jewish people. And certainly you don't accept, him sending his son. But even aside from that, you don't even accept that God delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
They don't even believe that the Jewish people were in Egypt.
I don't think a Jew is a Jew as a person. A Jew is a status. It belongs to God.
Yeah. Right?
I was just posting that quickly because I've seen few peoples there. I'm so glad to see the time we're living in and everything. Luke mentioned it, right? Many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and they were not. You're a privileged generation to be able to even think about watching and see what's coming. Listen to what Kevin, Bob, and Shane are saying right now, right there. So if even the Jews are not believing their own stuff, what kind of world are we in right now? Where are we aiming to? We're out of here. Of course, we believe that. But that's why we're watching. That's the main reason.
But Paul says God is not done with the Jew. Okay? God is not done with the Jew. He says, God forbid. And then he says that, but he's used us, the Gentiles, to provoke them unto jealousy. Okay? What is there to be jealous about? You think the Jews are jealous of us right now? I don't think that they've been provoked enough. Do you think the rapture might provoke them to jealousy?
That's a good question.
Well, you know, right now, what you're talking about there, John, you know, we are in a time frame right now that is like extremely tight now. Extremely tight. The tension's unbelievable. This thing's about to snap. It was tight before. We have things taking place 10 years ago. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, but now it's insanely tight for the main reason, because of that solar eclipse over America and everything that started happening since then. When you have a sign of Jonah take place, every time it takes place, what happens? A time clock starts ticking. Okay, there's a 40 count that starts ticking. It started happening for Jonah. It had 40 days to repent. Jesus showed up. They had 40 years to get their act together. City was destroyed. Okay. Now, we're not looking for 40 years from now. We're looking at a 40-day count now. So the clock is ticking for us towards something. I don't know what's going to happen on that day or anything like that. Okay. But I do know this is God is sending us judgment patterns right now. All right. He is speaking in the heavens, and he's also making things happen here on the earth. When you got all this stuff happening at the same time, lining up perfectly, God is speaking. He's speaking now. He's like, hey, guys, all right, I'm here. Yep. Get ready. All right, it's like when the boss shows up. Hey, the boss is there. The boss is here. Everybody's, you know, stop messing around. And, you know, they line up and they're at attention. The big man's here. Okay, so God is now speaking now. And one thing about May 18th, did you guys know that May 18th is National Astronomy Day?
I believe
that day you're supposed to look up.
Just look up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? That day, everybody has to look up that day. That's what they do on National Astronomy Day. So everybody looks up. How about that? May 18th. So wow. I don't know. I'm not saying the rapture is going to happen, but I'm thinking about that movie. Look, don't look up. You know. Yeah.
So all that you see when May 20th comes around, what do I do? It's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Yeah, no, I get that. Listen, I'm going to go back to this story that I told, and this parallel that I told on Sunday, and that is the parallel with Thomas. A lot of people know him as Doubting Thomas, right? The disciple that doubted that Christ rose from the dead. Yeah. Christ died, rose from the dead, and then he came back that evening to the disciples who were locked up in a house, and all of a sudden Christ appeared in the midst of them, and so he was able to go through wall basically at that point. He didn't have to knock on the door. He was obviously glorified and could go through matter. Humans in non-glorified bodies, we can't go through that. So he was glorified at the time. He came through, and he basically, everybody saw him except for, yep, that's right, Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. Why wasn't Thomas there? Well, if Thomas was there, then the story ends. But there is a story here, and there's a pattern here. And God wanted to show this story and pattern so that Thomas wouldn't be there. And so Thomas came pretty much, I figure, immediately thereafter and said, hey, what's up? Everyone said, Jesus was here. And Thomas said, I don't believe you. And so all these people that he was with for all those years and saw everything that he saw in regards to all the miracles and heard Jesus and said he was going to be raised on the third day. And everyone said, yes, Jesus did it. We actually went to the tomb that day. Today in the morning, he was not there. We came back, we told everybody, Thomas, basically you left. And then he came, and then Thomas is like, I'm not going to believe any of you. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to believe anything that you say, no matter what. I have to put my finger into the holes. That's what's going to do it. Not even just seeing Jesus. He has to actually touch him and make sure that that's Jesus and that he was crucified. Yeah. Well, did Jesus come back immediately and say, Thomas, I'm here. Look, touch me. No, he did not. How long did Thomas have to wait? 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week. Daniel's 70th week. He had to wait a week. And when Jesus came back a week later, Thomas believed. And he said, I believe now. And you know what Jesus said to him? Great, Thomas, I'm glad. Good for you. No, he did not say that. No. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. You see? So who gets a special blessing? Those who have to go through the 70th week, those who have to wait a week, or those who are blessed at the beginning, before the 70th week starts? Who's blessed? What kind of blessing is that? And that's Titus 2, verse 13, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is looking forward to our blessed hope and the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a huge parallel. Two different groups of people, one that get the blessing, one that don't get the blessing. And for those who say, I want to go through the tribulation, you are not going to be blessed during that period of time. Okay. You don't get blessed during that period of time. You get blessed if you believe and you have not seen. If you have to go through the tribulation, you are seeing, which is going back to what your point was, Shane. Will people know? The more that you get into the tribulation, the more people will know that this is happening, that this day is approaching, the second coming, and that they are going to know that God's pouring out the wrath, because the Bible says that they blaspheme God. They don't blaspheme Allah. They don't blaspheme Satan. They don't blaspheme the aliens or the UFOs. They blaspheme God because they know that God and God alone is the only one who's pouring out his wrath upon the earth.
Yeah, it's good, John.
I cannot keep myself to bring up the 10 virgins, right? And that's reminding me the day after the rapture, those who believe are gone. And what will be those who stay behind and say, we preach the gospel and everything, but they were not really saved. That's going to be tremendously sick, right? And that's why we must, you guys on the chat, those are not saved, you must believe by faith what the blood of Christ did for you, not the who, but the what. It's okay for Jesus Christ. We know him, but what he did for you, that's the important thing. Yeah. Don't be left behind with some really bitter taste in your mouth, say, oh no, I have to go through 7 years of tribulation. Yeah. I gotta wait, like Thomas, like Kevin said there.
Yeah.
Man, no, the blessing goes to the first ones.
You know, John, you talk about Canada, how bad Canada is. How, you know, they already passed that legislation about speaking the gospel, throw you in prison if you're on the street. Okay, well, they're kind of doing the same thing here now. They're actually I'm not sure if it's passed yet. I thought it was going to it's clear the House of Representatives, supposed to go now to the Senate, about basically hate speech about the Jews killing Jesus.
Yep,
can't talk about that. The Jews killing Jesus. Okay,
yeah, known. Our King Jesus.
Yeah, because if long as nobody knows about Jesus dying, they won't know about the gospel.
That's right.
If you don't hear about him dying, you certainly won't hear about the resurrection.
Yeah,
but that's what the devil's trying to do. That's where the devil got defeated. When Jesus died, you know, and when they showed that movie, The Passion of the Christ, there was a reason why that devil was screaming, no! Because that's where he got defeated. So guess what? If he can stop people from finding out that the Jews killed Jesus, you certainly can stop them from finding out about the resurrection.
Yeah.
So that's what they're trying to. They're not concentrating on the resurrection. Let's take care of the first part of this problem is when he died on the cross. Let's pretend that didn't happen, just like the Holocaust.
Ben Bob, as we talked about before, even the Muslims admit that Jesus was on the cross. However, they say that he didn't die.
Yeah, he got hurt really, 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 really bad.
That he swooned and that his disciples took him away and that he kept on living. But see, that's the thing, is that the Muslims, at least, they admit that he was on the cross, but they the death is the power, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
that's a big problem.
And so if you stop before the death, then what good is the use of being on the cross if you don't follow through with the sacrifice? If you don't sacrifice anything, There's no redemption of sin. There's no amends, and it has to be a perfect sacrifice. Because as we saw long ago with Cain, that if you go in there with a bad spirit and a bad heart and don't give your best and try to sacrifice something to God, God is not going to accept that. It's only a perfect sacrifice. That's why they had to sacrifice an unblemished lamb. That's why they had to sacrifice for the first fruits. They couldn't just give their leftovers because God wouldn't accept that. And Jesus was certainly no leftover. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. But if you take away that, Bob, then you don't have any resurrection to even talk about, do you? So they're trying to nip it in the bud.
When I say, I've seen a video this week, a quick short video from you guys in the United States in a school, 14, 15 years old, high school, I think. Yes, it is. And it's 24 years after the World Trade Center, and they were being asked live in a classroom if they know, and no, they're blinded. They don't want to hear anything. It's a huge part of history. What happened there 24 years ago?
No. Are you saying they didn't remember what happened?
No, they don't know what it is.
Interesting. Far away.
They don't do history or anything like this.
You know who does know who it is? What it was? Ilhan Omar said some people did some things.
Yeah, I'm just tired of this. All the lies. Going back to even what you said about what the Quran says about Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the verse we talked about before. Basically, the Quran said Allah did this hocus pocus that made the guy on the cross look like Jesus because he's a great deceiver, and that's what it says. I was like, okay, so what was the point of that, Allah? Why'd you do that for? Mm-hmm. What was the end game of doing that? To confuse your followers? No, I just like doing tricks. That's your only excuse. There's no purpose of making that guy look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he did. There's some other guy up there, but he just
he looks like him.
That wasn't real Jesus up there. I was just messing with you guys just to have fun with you.
Why would you worship a God who likes to do tricks
in the world? What's that? And
who, why would you worship a God who likes to do tricks? Why would you worship a God who says that you can lie to anybody that you want to because the end justifies the means? I mean, what kind of God is that?
I know.
It sounds like Satan. It sounds like the devil himself.
The Bible calls him the father of all lies.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus calls him. The Quran says that Allah is the greatest of deceivers.
Yeah.
So you got the greatest, the father, the top guy of lies in the Bible, and then you got the top guy of lies in the Quran.
It comes right out and says it. It's not confusing. Hard. No, it's not confusing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like when you think about even back to Thomas, I actually met a guy on Sunday that is from the same area that Doubting Thomas, which is interesting, we call him that, but that he had a whole ministry in that part of India, which just exploded. And it's interesting that, like, when you read about the time frame when the 11 disciples, Jesus went through that door and appeared to the 11, and Thomas wasn't there. It's a good pickup, Kevin, on the week later. But the 11 were there, and Jesus is like, feel my hands, feel my side, and everything. And I wonder sometimes if somebody approached Thomas afterwards and said, look at this. I actually put my fingers in his wrists, and I put my finger in his side, and this is unbelievable, Thomas. We saw him. And I bet you Thomas was just like, why wasn't I there at that? Why didn't I see it? And maybe a little bit heated. So then when he does show up, he's like, unless I do the same thing as you. Now, he didn't say that, but I'm thinking in my head as a human being, unless I match and do what you guys got to do, I'm not going to accept anything. Anyone else, I got to see the wounds because you guys did. And then Jesus came and said, here, Thomas, put your hands here and then put your hand in my ribs. Right. And then he said, like what Kevin said, it basically, blessed are those. You see me, or you believe because you see me. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those that believe when they don't see me. And that's us. Right. We don't see him right now. And our faith, you want to talk about on a scale of 0 to 100%? We're at the 100% mark of being blessed because we don't see him. We don't hear him. We don't see him. We can feel him from time to time, but man, we have the Bible. This is what we have to read. And I think we're blessed. And I think God smiles when we're seeking him with everything that we have. And at the end of the day, it's just reasonable in the line of eternity. When you're talking about billions and billions and trillions and zillions of years into the future, we're still joint heirs in Christ. Mm. Like, that is a big deal. That is a privilege that we have. So now it's just reasonable to spend a couple of minutes a day. I think that's reasonable to read the King James Bible. John, what do you think? Reasonable? Considering?
You have to breathe the word. It should be your bread, your daily bread, right? Mm. It should be your thing there that, you know, it's the most thing. Even Isaiah says it. Your words are more important than my necessary food. Hmm. Right?
That's good.
It's so important, right? It's,
yep.
And that's the first verse I would say that applies to fasting. Your words are more important than necessary food.
Yeah.
If you don't reach that point in your life, unfortunately, you're not a 2 Timothy 2:15. You're not studying enough. Mm. And that's where everything else will come. You won't rightly divide. You won't be showing yourself approved unto God. And you might be ashamed at the time. All the things that you can put a no into that verse if you don't study. That's what it means.
I would think a lot of people if they're not feeling ashamed right now, that they're going to feel ashamed.
Oh, yeah.
Especially those after, who don't know anything about what's in the word at all.
Yeah,
and then they say the exact opposite things. When in fact the truth is right there for them and they've actually been told what it is and they've rejected it.
Yeah.
They will, they so, and it says, and some are resurrected to what? To shame.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
To shame. Interesting. That's
some to
a
glory,
good point.
Mm-hmm. Some to shame.
Yeah. So, how do you get shame? It's almost like, you know, better.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Bible says that people are willfully ignorant. They are willfully ignorant. They know what the truth is, but they willfully either put it out of their brains and don't think about it, or they've completely rejected it, which is what God is going to do when he sends the strong delusion, because the people have rejected the truth. Mm-hmm. And so right. for those who are in Israel, they're going to have to wait until they see the abomination. And Jesus said, when you see
yep.
the abomination of desolation in the temple,
yeah.
standing where it should not,
yeah.
flee and, to the mountains. So they're going to have to be like Thomas and ultimately see yeah. that occur. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then someone's going to say to them, Jesus yeah. said this was going to happen. We yeah. need to go. And they're going to be like, what? Oh, I heard about that, but I was willfully ignorant. Yeah. And so yeah. some of those people actually are going to be saved. Thomas was ultimately saved. He believed. Yeah. He was saved, but it took some time to get there, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You want a little bit more proof of the rapture, and this is my theory, in Matthew 24, when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, and then in parentheses, let the reader read, telling me that somebody's reading this at this time that will see it, not us. I think there are going to be pockets, groves of people that are going to be flocking to the Gospel of Matthew to try and figure this stuff out. If it's available online on my channel or maybe some other channel, maybe Bible Gateway is offline, don't know. But they're going
it'll be available somehow. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said, let the reader understand. So there are going to be people who are reading. When you see it, let the reader understand what I'm saying here. That this is what Daniel spoke about.
Yes.
That when you see this, this is the time where you must go. Yeah. That you must. So that, otherwise, you're not going to be saved.
So that tells me, not talking about us, the church. Because it's like, let the reader.
We already understand.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to read it already. It's during the tribulation, so they have to read the Bible during the tribulation. They're not going to have this stuff. This stuff is going to be
It's going to be a manual, right, Bob?
Yeah, it has to be out of a Bible.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what like we're doing, Feed My Sheep today. We are pushing right now that we are actually trying to buy as many Bibles as we can and stockpiling them different places right now. We're doing like a blitz this month. And getting as many as we can. We may not be able to move them in case the rapture happens, but at least there'll be a lot of Bibles that'll be taken out of the warehouses. And because the government controls the warehouse, but once we get them out of the warehouse, we're good to go. And they might be at the pastor's home, they might be in a missionary's car, they might be in this village somewhere in a store, you know. But as long as we get them out of there, okay. Well, they won't be in the store. We don't sell them in stores, but there might be at least at the post office. We can get them out of there, okay? Or those who will be left behind will be able to get them out of there. And I was going to make this mention about, you guys are talking about being ashamed at the resurrection. Okay, those are ashamed. Yeah, and even if you get saved, how are you going to be ashamed? Well, you're going to be ashamed because you don't rightly divide the Bible. And when you don't rightly divide the Bible, you don't get salvation right, okay? You just don't. And I say that because Brother John sent me this video, this great, great preacher, and he's on Daystar, okay? And I don't know people have their opinions about Daystar, so do I, but needless to say, the guy's on Daystar is a big pastor, and he was doing great, talking about stuff, everything, and then he got to the point about salvation, that's where he lost me. Because he's like, okay, well, it's like, you know, Jesus did his work, but I mean, you know what, man? I have to be home repenting every day. I'm saying I'm sorry. I'm repenting 4 or 5 times a day. And they're like, yeah, we're repenting 4 or 5 times, 20 times a day. Yeah, keep doing that. Yeah, you have to show the Lord that you're serious. You know, I'm like, wrong. You don't repent 40, 50 times a day. Repenting is not saying I'm sorry. It's changing. Mm-hmm. Repenting only happens once. Repenting is metanoia, when you change your mind about believing what Jesus did to save you. Mm-hmm. That's all. Okay, now you can say you're sorry. Sure, you can feel bad. The Holy Spirit says that when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. So essentially, the Holy Spirit is grieving, saying sorry. Okay, that's what's happening.
Right, because otherwise, you as a human, you don't care, right? But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you do feel remorse. You do feel sad. But like you said, it says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Is that occurring 20 times a day, that the old is passing away and the new is coming 20 times a day? It's a one-time thing. you have rejected the world's view of everything. You have rejected the world's view of what salvation is or what promise of immortality is and things like that. You have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection so that you can have everlasting life. It says those who are resurrected to everlasting glory, and there are some who are resurrected to everlasting shame.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to teach you guys something real quick here. What does all mean in Hebrew? All. What does all mean in Greek? All. What does all mean in Swahili? All. So when Jesus Christ nailed all of our iniquities on the cross, in what language does all not mean all?
Great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently in Latin, it doesn't. I mean, you know. Well, in French it does, but I think in Latin that's where it's missed, because the Roman Catholic Church seems to think that you have grace through faith plus your journey of works that will lead you to the path of salvation. But Jesus Christ died once and for all.
How many times did he die, brother?
Well, just once, as far as I know. We are to die to our sins daily, you see? Yeah. But die to our sins. So what does that mean? That means that we are to put our sins into unemployment zone, the unemployment zone. In other words, you're never going to not sin. You're never going to be able to be perfect. Because if you say that you have no sin, then you make God a liar. So you cannot do that. Sin. The truth, it says the truth is not within you if you say you have no sin. The truth is not within you. In other words, Jesus is not within you if you say you have no sin. Because if you say you have no sin, why do you need a savior? Why do you need Jesus?
That's a good point.
Why do you need the Holy Spirit within you? The truth is not in you at that point, you see?
No.
So you must realize that you are a sinner and that you're going to continue to sin. But that doesn't mean that you should continue to sin. As a matter of fact, Paul says, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. We put it in unemployment. We try to unemploy the sin as much as we possibly can. And God appreciates every time that we unemploy that sin. He loves that. He loves it.
Right, exactly. I love that one. The truth is in you, okay? And basically, if you're going to say to yourself, wretched old man that I am such a sinner. I said that a bunch of times today. Wretched old man. I'm always calling myself a wretched old filthy sinner. Just comes on me. And I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just a filthy sinner. Thank God I have a savior, Jesus. So that means the truth is within me. So if you've said that to yourself, or if you felt that, then you're saved. Okay. Yeah. Just think about that. That's a good point, Kevin. If you said that to you about yourself, or think of, if you're watching right now and you're saying to yourself, if you could say it to yourself, admit it. I'm a sinner. And I'm messed up. You know,
when the people are having problem with drugs or alcohol, a lot of people say you should stop doing this. You're gambling with your health and everything. Well, I'm going to say, and you can share this screen there. I'm going to say to you, don't gamble with your soul. Don't be a 1 Corinthians 14:38. Don't be ignorant. That's because that's what the Bible says. You know, we're not against free will. If you want to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want, going with this, one of the commentary I have, it says, they had a lobotomy performed on them by the Holy Spirit to the first day that they messed up with his book. This is what makes them stupid. It is not a lack of formal education or of a knowledge of the original language. The problem is much deeper. If you physically don't want to study, like we were talking about with Timothy, unfortunately, you're going to have to, you'll be ashamed. You won't be able to prove yourself to God because you don't rightly divide, like Kevin said and Bob. They were talking. That's it. If don't be a statistics in the morning after the rapture says, what? Mm-hmm. Not me? Not moi? Right? They're going to become left behind and what a bunch of garbage it's going to be for 7 years.
Can you imagine that guy? And he was a big preacher, and they have, like, we're doing big revivals, and we're having people come down and accept Jesus into their heart. You're doing all that stuff, and it's like, but you're running home, and you're saying basically, what I heard him basically say is, I have to go home, and when I say I'm sorry, I'm saved again. Mm-hmm. And if I forget a sin, if I don't say sorry for that, then I'm not saved. So you're
right, like,
saved.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The guy's name. But the thing is, here's the problem. You never believed in Jesus' blood to save you.
Right.
See, I believe in that blood to save me once and for all, and it's done.
Amen, bro. Can't
lose it.
It's good. Preach
I
it.
I have faith in it. I believe in it. But you know what? I don't think he does. So here you are doing this great revival, doing all his work, just for the Lord to say, I do not know you. Yeah, I did these great works in your name. Yeah, I still don't know you. You're still going to hell. But I did revivals and everything, and I was a big pastor, and I led people to you. I don't know you. You don't have my spirit within you. You didn't trust in my blood. You trusted in those I'm sorry prayers to forgive you of your sins. That's the Bible doesn't say that. Try going to a judge after you get a speeding ticket and say, I'm sorry. I guess I'm forgiven. Walk out. No, the bailiff will grab you, pull you up there. No, you either got to pay the bill, pay the fine, or go to prison, unless you have someone that's going to go to prison for you. Okay? Sorry doesn't cut it. I'm sorry for my sins doesn't cut it.
No.
Right? You're still going to hell.
How powerful is the death and resurrection of Christ if you can lose your salvation because you didn't say a prayer?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. There is no power there. So why would you have faith in that? Because it can only sustain you for so long. How powerful of a God is that? So that's why it's all built on faith, and faith in Christ Jesus and his finished work on the cross, not something that you have done. It says we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I boast. If I boast and say I repented 20 times today, what good is that? There's nothing that you're offering anybody there. And by the way, Bob, when you said, oh, wretched man that I am, you know what he says right before that? I didn't look, so I'm hoping that I'm right, but I think I remember this correctly. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. But that's kind of what we're in every single day. We aspire to be more Christ-like, right?
Yeah.
We aspire to do these things, but we fall short at times.
Yeah,
and then the things that we want to do, we don't do sometimes and we fall short.
Yeah.
But does that mean that we've lost our way, our salvation? Yeah. No, of course not. God forbid.
And that was a guy that brought us the gospel.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul said, I am the body of Christ, for I am chief.
Yes.
The first one saved.
Yeah.
And here he is, like, hey, man, I sinned my butt off. I want to do the right thing. I can't do the right thing. I keep choosing the wrong thing over and over and over and over again every day. Okay. Maybe, you know, basically, some days, yes, I lean towards the Spirit and it feels really good. I've been there and we all have been there. One day you're leaning towards the Spirit and things are going good and you're kind of unemploying the flesh like you're talking about, and then other days you're leaning towards the flesh,
right,
and you're kind of getting away from the Spirit, and it hurts
when you get prodded back into line.
Yeah. When you go towards the Spirit you feel great, but you have this itch, right?
I think Kevin was on to something when he said, if you could just sit back quietly at home and just go, I don't want to watch porn. I hate porn. I hate it. I hate drinking. I hate getting drunk. And I hate losing my cool in traffic and beating people up or whatever your thing is. If you're like sitting back in a cool place and you're like, you know what? I hate this. Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus Christ. I want to be better, whatever it is. If you can just sit there and rationalize and go, man, I want to be here. I want to read his word 24 hours a day. I want to be in his presence all the time. I think that's a good starting point, because now you understand that it's almost like we have two brains, where one brain is desiring to know Jesus Christ a little better today. And then you got the flesh that's like, no, you don't. You don't need to know him. You don't need to pursue. You don't just go into your sin and you're okay. Just keep watching porn, do whatever it is, because the wages of sin is death, and then you're taken out of the game. So like you said, unemployed, I use the term, keep your body, keep your flesh in a coma. Don't say stupid things to wake your flesh up. What are those stupid things? Well, it's like, I swear to God, I promise I will never watch porn. I will never look lustfully onto a woman again. Well, you just employed your flesh. Right. Looking around going, what? What? I was just having a good sleep and now you woke me up.
And a trigger word.
Shh, go to sleep. Instead, maybe what I should say is, how can I get closer to my wife today than I yesterday? How can I build intimacy in my relationship? How can I do those things? And then all of a sudden the flesh doesn't wake up. And now you're protecting yourself because you're not saying black and white stuff that gets you into trouble down the road. Don't say that. It's not profitable.
It's not profitable. You put on the full armor of God, and now all of a sudden you have a fighting chance. If you're going to continue to go down your ways and just speak meaningless words, then that's not going to do you any good. Mm-hmm. But remember that what the beginning of wisdom is, it's the fear of the Lord.
Fear. Yeah.
You see, it's the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. You're not going to have any wisdom. You're not even going to be able to start on the path to wisdom unless you have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I think these days, think they're all wise and this and that, but they don't know the Lord. They don't fear him. And you know what, Bob? We see them every single day and we don't think that they're wise. As a matter of fact, we've talked for years now on how they actually do things that actually harm their cause.
Yeah.
And God uses it for good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like, how people have woken up to what has gone on over the last 7 years.
Yeah.
And that they think that they've got it all figured out, and they're doing this and they're manipulating that and they're this and that. But you know what? People are actually waking up and seeing, I can see right through you. Just like the governor of New York says, oh, a black kid in the Bronx doesn't even have a computer. They don't even know what a computer is. And then and then takes it back and says, oh, I didn't really mean that, after saying it three different times. We can see right through you. Yeah. We're not going to buy that. And you know what? That is just willful ignorance of the truth. Willful ignorance there.
That's good. That's good. Well, let's jump into the comments. Let's see if we can dig up some
juicy questions already? Man, it flew by again.
Oh, I know.
And then when you talk, time goes.
That's right.
Out of the window.
I know.
Does that mean that I'm talking to you
here?
No,
it's too much. Goodly talking. Well done.
Well, look, I have to be honest with every single person in the chat. A lot of people already know. Maybe some people are new here and watching me, but I do not monitor my time. I do not think about anything when I'm on uptime. I don't really. It comes to me as I go.
Fully
and
devoted.
I think that all of us are the same way. That we just let the Spirit speak through us, and we try to unemploy our flesh during these period of times. Sometimes you'll see that leak out with a little frustration, but you know, at the same time, though, I try to get it under control and then bring it into a good message and to something that's profitable.
And you know, for all of us, but mostly for you, Bob, Shane, and Kevin, for many people, all your videos and everything that you do and everything, that's the only connection they have with the Bible and the teaching, if I may say, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have a church close to learn the proper King James and everything, or whatever is the reason. For a lot of people, you are the source of information and teaching, and 2 Timothy 2:15. You are the 2 Timothy 2:15 for a lot of people.
And that's why we have to rally divide. And we do bring politics into it.
Yeah.
And weather, speaking of which, this is from Elizabeth, says, do you guys think that all these weather events, tornadoes in the Midwest, is punishment from the government handling of Israel? You know what? I was just telling my wife this today. Can we have at least one storm that comes through here where it doesn't blow sideways? Okay. Every storm we have coming here is torrential rains. It's blowing sideways every time it comes through. Okay. So,
you know what they say about that? Climate change, Bob. Climate change.
Right.
So what do you think about it there?
It's never been like that before, Bob. So, what do you guys think that all these weather events, tornadoes in the Midwest, is punishment for the government handling of Israel? Why would he punish the Midwest? That's like that's the place that that are the most conservative and appreciate the God's land of Israel. So listen, the Bible says that the rain falls on the good and on the bad. Okay, that's what it says. It doesn't say that God punishes only the bad. It doesn't say that actually. It doesn't say that bad people are the only ones who are going to get punished. Okay. And it doesn't even mean that it's punishment. And then there's all kinds of passages saying, why do the wicked prevail? Why do the wicked prosper, Lord? Why do they? Yeah. Well, because what kind of prospering are they actually doing within this world? And then Peter says, why are you going to care about what this world is when it's going to pass away? Mm-hmm. You know, all your silver and gold have been turned to dross. Yeah. What's the point? What's the point? There is no point. Yeah. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. If you store up all your treasures here, what are you going to have left in heaven?
Right. And think about this question here. I think there is government manipulation with this weather.
And that would be a more important question, I think, is to ask, is it on purpose?
Yeah, I believe it is. Absolutely. But we're also in that 40-day count, too. So you can also have God working in this thing, too. We're getting some crazy amount of tornadoes coming through here all across this country.
Yeah, here, too.
They dropped the ball in Dubai.
Let me rephrase this question for you, Bob, and see if you can answer it. Do you guys think that all these weather event tornadoes in the Midwest is punishment by the government of the United States for not voting for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next question. That was easy.
All right. Yeah, essentially, yeah.
You saw Dubai, right? What happened there with the 7 foot of water?
Horrible. I could have talking and then
what happened? No, what happened? I didn't catch the news. What happened?
Oh, 7 foot of water. They send chloride, aluminum, whatever, dust in the sky to get more rain. But somewhere, somehow, they put too much or whatever. Oh. And that's what is the news is, and they flooded the whole thing.
Just like, goes to show you.
7 foot of water at certain
place. They were seeding the clouds.
It's a desert.
To show you. Who knew? The desert's not supposed to have that much water.
Yeah, crazy idea. Huh. Crazy thought. Okay, next question.
Do you think the West will take Putin's threat of using nukes in NATO decision-making centers as a bluff and proceed to deploy NATO troops in Ukraine? You know, the fact that we're doing nuclear bluffs right now is just absolutely insane. Right now, the fact that they're talking about this
We talked about it last week.
NATO, so can you read the question again? Because I'm confused.
Do you think the West will take Newton's threat of using nukes in NATO decision-making centers as a bluff and proceed to deploy NATO troops in Ukraine? I think it's pretty much Putin said if NATO deploys troops into Ukraine, NATO troops, then he will deploy nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons at first, not intercontinental, but tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield. Now, a tactical nuke will basically be like the one they dropped on Iwo Jima. Okay, that's a tactical nuke. Now, that's not a nuke.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's tactical for the battlefield, and I could see that starting to happen first. Okay, I think they're really starting to clear the air where that will be okay now to drop a small one. All right, but here's the thing about NATO. All the NATO countries, especially here in the States, we are not in wartime production right now. We still haven't gone into wartime production. We're still in peacetime. We're not doing any producing. The only country that's producing right now is Israel and Russia and China.
And I think Israel, I'm not a real chess player, but I think they made a mistake. If you've ever played Risk or anything like this and you see people moving pieces around and stuff, you're like, uh-oh. You're looking pretty aggressive, but Israel made a deal with Finland to sell. This is kind of a first time. David Sling. I don't know if you heard about David Sling. It's basically you have the Iron Dome, and then the next thing is David Sling to go out a little bit further than the Iron Dome so that you don't exhaust the Iron Dome. Israel didn't want to sell the Iron Dome, so instead they made a deal with Finland, of all people. Finland's part of NATO, to have David Sling. And because
NATO, but just since a few months.
Finland, yeah, exactly. It's only been a few months. And
they're in the backyard of Russia.
Yeah, the border is about, I forget how many miles across, and it would be tough for Russia now to start building up on that side, because if you have David Sling in there, you're not going into Finland at all. The next case would be to go more aggressively into Ukraine, and then it looks bad for Russia. So I feel like they maybe misplayed. Not that I'm on their side. I'm just saying, like, if I was a chess guy playing all these pieces, I'm like,
we're not. We're not in Israel right now, but we're United States. And this question here, like I said, NATO, we're not producing anything. You know why? Because they want us to lose. NATO wants NATO countries to lose. Mm-hmm. Our government, they want us to lose. They want us to get blown to bits. Okay, there's
going on for sure.
They're planning on it because they also know God's also going to decimate, like Kevin and I were talking about. The Western nations are going to be decimated in the trumpets anyways. Right. So it's like, why should we rebuild all this equipment? Why should we do that for when we could just use Russia's ammunition to destroy all you guys in the NATO countries? So that way it helps us get down to that 500 million that we need. So why would we be rebuilding more? Why would we be building more ammunition, tanks, and doing all that stuff? That's why we are not producing. We are still in peacetime producing right now. We're not in wartime producing right now.
Yeah.
That's on purpose. You know, some people think that if Russia launches nukes at us, that our government won't even respond. They're like, hey, we're on the ground, man. Those nukes won't launch anyway. Those codes are like 50 years old. So, you know, it's just...
The doors have rusted shut.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine how they go...
trying to get out. No, I don't think that's good. But what this is really asking is, and Tony Blinken said this just a couple of months ago, that Ukraine is going to be part of NATO in the future. I mean, that is a huge no-no for anybody on this planet, but yet he's saying it. So, Bob, that proves the point that they want to go to war. They want war. And we know that the Red Horse, the second seal of Revelation, is ultimate war, is just everybody fighting amongst themselves. And so Jesus said it was going to be like that right before he came. So
did you hear that Zelensky actually wants to dissolve NATO? He's fed up with it because they're not helping him out. They promised him that they could get into NATO, and as soon as the heat got turned on and they're like, well, you promised. It's like, no, we're holding off on that. Yeah, but Russia's on my back door.
Well, yeah, but the
U.S.
was
helping.
Yeah, but that's why Blinken came out and said that Ukraine will be part of NATO someday, because he wants that carrot to be still out there for them, you see?
I'm just saying, like, with Zelensky, like, he wants to dissolve NATO and create U-24, which is a United 24.
Well, because he doesn't want to wait, see?
Yeah,
Blinken said someday, and Zelensky wants it now, because he wants to have World War III start now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But
next question. Okay,
go ahead. We don't think that World War III is going to start right this second. No. So listen, everything is going according to God's plan. God is in control here. Okay.
Yeah. It's good. Next
everything
question.
Everything is set. The rapture is set. Yeah. The explosions, the timing of the nuclear explosions are set. All that stuff is set.
That's right.
All right. God knows when a flea is going to fart on the back of the Ukrainian soldier's back at midnight, 2 weeks from now. Okay.
Are we that desperate to go into fight?
He's that detailed. Okay.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Leave it to Bob. Don't
worry about it.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Moving on.
It says here, have you guys seen the protesters chanting guillotine?
Ooh, no, I have not.
During the tribulation. Why are they where are they thinking that we have all these guillotines? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, that's right.
Bought
where
thousands of guillotines inside of FEMA camps, and they stored
them away. Right.
What? Back in 2011. Remember that?
Yeah, well, yeah. And they added death by guillotine to the code, right? Remember that? In number 99?
Unpack this a little bit. I didn't know about this.
No. I mean, death by guillotine was added into the code in order to kill people. So that is in the United States code. They added in there. So now you can do that via guillotine. And they purchased, how many was it, Bob? It was
I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 150,000.
Are you talking about America or another country? You mean Switzerland?
No, we're talking about the United States of America, sir.
Yeah, these things they're not big. What? They're only about six and a half to seven feet tall. They basically look like weight benches, like a modern-day weight bench. They're pretty sleek.
That can't be true. This has to be a dream.
Oh, my gosh. Are you Canadian?
That's true. They're pretty proficient. These things are not that big. They're not the big wooden ones, a big public event. Yeah. These things are only 6 feet tall. It's like a bench, a workout bench. Except that the bars are back by your head, and it has slots with a big knife about this big that slides up and down with a cable.
Did you watch that movie Napoleon that came out a few months ago? Did you watch it, Napoleon? Mm-hmm. Well, they started the whole movie with France going nutso watching guillotines, executions, including whoever the queen was of France or whatever.
Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, that's her. And I'm like, these people are basically buying tickets to get a ringside seat at people getting their heads.
Oh, yeah. The French, as John knows, the French Revolution, they were very bloodthirsty to put those royals, in their place. That was a proper revolution.
So America has 150,000 guillotines. For what purpose, Bob?
I'm sharing right now if you want to put it on the
screen. What purpose?
I don't think
you want to put it. What good can come out of it?
You're facetious now, aren't you, Shane?
Yes, yeah. You what purpose?
Yeah, you can speak about it, but just no visuals. Let's just move on to the next thing.
Yeah, next question.
Well, there was a visual. You can.
No, we don't want to see heads.
Let's move on. I'm slightly concerned that we.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, right. I have a question. My church friend.
You know, when you go too deep, you can go too deep.
Yep. My church friend said that whoever takes the mark of the beast isn't going to be the mark. He said something about the eye and the arm. I don't understand because it's a mark. Okay, the wording here is a little messed up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And maybe you could type that back up again in a little more clear because I think maybe
what she's saying is it's not going to be like a physical mark, but it could be something a little bit more engineered, physical, if you will. Yeah, like, do you think it's like an X on someone, or like a big X, or do you think it's
I'm going to stop you right there because King James is clear. The only version who says in the right end is King James. All the other ones says on the right end.
Yeah,
it's in the right end. It's going to be something like chip, microchip, inside tattoo, something that with highlight you can see because you need to quickly check on people. There will be something. It has to be in the head because.
Yeah, and I think that's what she was asking.
God's going to give them real bad sore. So it has to be something like cancer inside the head. There will be something.
But also, there's another component to taking the mark, and that is the worship of the Antichrist. Okay. So those go part and parcel together. Okay. It's not just taking a mark for economic persons or economic reasons.
Yeah.
It is absolutely to pledge your allegiance and to worship the Antichrist because they have rejected worship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No one who has accepted Jesus Christ as their savior will take the mark of the beast. Okay, not one person is going to slip through Jesus's fingers because why? He says the truth. Mm-hmm. So don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about accidentally taking the mark if you're a believer. You don't have to worry about any of that. If you're not a believer, however, though, you should absolutely be worried about being deceived into believing the Antichrist is God and taking his mark, his mark.
Yeah,
strong delusion.
Right.
Because of the strong delusion, because you've rejected the truth. You absolutely need to be aware of that. And that's why, hopefully, anybody who's not saved right now is realizing that, oh my goodness, I need to get saved so that I can actually understand these things that's going on in the world like everybody else and receive eternal life so I don't have eternal damnation.
Amen. That's preach it, Kevin. That's right.
Yeah. There has Kevin, to be. Kevin's on fire tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's good, man. That's good. Somebody's got to give that slip-slap thing there.
Yeah. Kevin and I, we always get into this conversation about this mark of the beast, and those goes the same way. I was like, you know, if you don't have an angel, you're not going to take it on an accident because there's an angel flying in the midst of heaven. Revelation chapter 14 say, don't take it, and trust me, this angel, well, somehow, some way, whether it's going to be one person or it's going to be an angel that will be able to be omnipresent, right. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to go up there and get this mark, however that's going to happen. Trust me, that angel said, you sure you want an angel? Will be standing right in front of you, okay? Usually when an angel stands in front of somebody in the Bible, they faint because of fear. This guy is going to be standing right before you, say, now if you take this, you're going to hell. No forgiveness. Yeah. You sure do you want to take this?
Blessed are those who are killed for their faith, the angel's going to say. Right.
So that angel is like, don't anybody say, oh, so and so got the mark. No, there's no angel proclaiming this mark yet. Just like there's no third temple or image in the Holy of Holies proclaiming to take this mark.
Did God forget to send the angels? Because this came up, of course, when the jab came out, right? It was like, if you take that, that's the mark, and da 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 da. And but I mean, I'm like, well, wait a minute, did God forget to send the angels to tell everybody to not take the mark? I don't think God forgot anything. So, you know, and plus it's like, oh, if you take it, it wipes you of your salvation and this and that. And it's like, you know, Paul was convinced that there's nothing that separates you. And then after that, John wrote, hey, there is one thing that you gotta be aware of. And that is if you take the mark that was revealed to him at that time when he was very, very old. Okay, he was on the island of Patmos. He was very old, and it got revealed that during that period of time, there is one thing, and that is you have accepted Satan basically as your savior, and you have taken his mark. You have not taken the mark or the seal of the Lord. You've taken the mark of the Antichrist, because when we believe, guess what? We are sealed. We are marked. We are marked by God himself.
Awesome, awesome. That was good. Next question.
Well, J.D. Edwards had a good one about what's going on in Gaza. Oh, okay. Yeah, I just saw it going, but it was... go ahead. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, who can predict the future here, everyone?
Here's Caesar. Says, will there be a catastrophic event, such as a great earthquake, taking place in the United States on May 19th? There will be an earthquake May 19th. Because there's usually hundreds of them that take place all over the world every day.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Okay. There will be an earthquake. Yes. Next question. Earthquake in the United States?
Bob? Could be. It could be. Could be. But
yeah, there you
go. We don't know. We don't know. Might not be. Earthquake.
You know, Caesar is the absolute master of asking questions.
Oh, yeah. He's got
that there's no good, really good answer to, except I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah,
we don't know what's going on.
What if it's the day?
You know what, Caesar? I'm not putting you down, buddy. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that you are definitely an inquisitive guy who wants to know a lot of things that just cannot be answered at this point.
Yeah, the Riddler.
Yeah, he's the Riddler.
John Murth says, "Do you think YouTube will wipe out off time after off the net?" When this happened with the rapture,
probably
there'll be a lot of stuff going on after. Man, it's gonna be.
Hey, Kevin, what did we talk about before we started the show? We said it's like all of us Christians are going to disappear. Okay, right. And this is an election year, so guess who's going to be voting Democrat? All the Christians that got raptured, because most of us are registered voters. So like, that's how they're planning on winning. By taking all of us that got raptured, and they're going to do a mail-in ballot for all of us, and that's
what you're saying is bad, but it's right. It's true.
No, I mentioned that you know, maybe we ought to get out the bumper stickers that says it only took the rapture for me to vote Democrat.
Yeah,
I don't understand what you guys are saying.
Well, you're not.
What are you guys saying?
You can't understand that, Shane. You're from Canada.
I know. I don't understand.
You've got an excuse.
You guys don't know, you know, they have, like, in the Democrats, you have dead people that vote for them all the time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
gotcha. It's all racked up. I get it. It's a gimmick. It's all done.
Now
we just learned this week that China intervened in our last election.
No, careful. Now, John, listen, we already know that the votes have already been counted for the 2024 election, right? Oh, that is a joke, by the way, YouTube. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I get what you're saying now, because that is actually funny, because all of a sudden somebody opens up the envelope from my house, say I was an American. It's like, well, yeah, he's raptured. Obviously, he voted for Democrat. I get it now. It took me a little bit, but yeah,
John was absolutely. And by the way, John was absolutely joking when he was talking about China. 100%.
Yes, I love China.
We all love China. I love Chinese food. Love China. I love it when they eavesdrop on my phone.
The dinner for two.
Love it.
The dinner for two extra egg rolls is really good.
We are absolutely not going to get a strike because we're just joking about this.
Yeah, we're joking. You too.
100%.
Don't strike us. Okay, next question.
You got people, Republican voters, they don't believe in Jesus, but they still vote Republican. They better hope that we don't get raptured out of here.
Right.
They better hope, man. They're going to be like, they're going to get that. Bad. Some guys are going to look at that ballot. Bob Barber from Northwest Indiana.
I knew it.
YouTube. Man, I know he's not voting Democrat, man.
I mean, it'll be the very first election where every single Democrat gets 100% of the vote.
Yeah,
it will.
Crazy.
There'll be no dissent.
Interesting. That's actually true. All right, next question. We got time for one or two.
Trump cannot save America, okay? Just by the way, there's only one person who can save, and that's Jesus himself, okay?
So amen. Praise God, Kevin. Yes, you're right on this one.
Let's be clear about that. Trump can't save anybody, okay?
Kevin, you have a 10 on 10 tonight.
Yep.
10 out of 10.
Good. You know, this guy, there was a man that was really popular that he got threatened with prison and all types of stuff. He was planning on rebuilding a country, and then eventually everything went in his way, and he came to power, and then he rebuilt the country, and then he killed 3 million Jews. Who was that again?
What was his name again?
Yeah,
from Germany somewhere.
Kind of same. Kind of weird same thing happening with Trump right now. Exact same playbook.
I love this question right now, right there on the screen.
You want to read it? Go ahead.
Yes, Bob. Well. It's a little discriminatory, but anyway, Bob. Sorry, guys. What is your understanding of the angel? It's not angels, it's angel. It's only one preaching the everlasting gospel during the tribulation. Detail. Well, what I think, not everybody's agreeing with this, but we are on the age of grace. Our gospel is by grace through faith only. Mm-hmm. What it's going to be during the 7-year tribulation, that's what that angel is going to preach, a different gospel that I think of, what you guys are thinking.
Yeah, it's good because there are different gospels, which is a good
point. The gospel the angel preaches, I can't bring the verse up here, but it's Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, I believe. I might be wrong, but it's basically the angel says whoever takes his mark will also drink of God's cup of wrath.
Exactly.
Right. And you can't be forgiven. So that the gospel is stay strong. Don't take the mark. If you have to die, die for the Lord and be a martyr.
Right.
That's the gospel.
Yep. You know, it says blessed are those who don't take the mark and die basically and perish.
Yeah.
So yes, it is telling you that you need to not take the mark. It preaches the everlasting gospel. And of course, part of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day, 100%. That is going to be told to every single person on earth in their own language so that they understand. So there's no ambiguity whatsoever. It's going to be very clear not to take the mark. And that if you die because of your faith, you are blessed.
Can I read it? Can I read the two
verses? Yes, just a quick second there. We are the last people with the grace of the age of grace. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that 7 years, it's going to be too late for the preaching of turn or burn. It's going to be too late for that. It's going to be something different. And yes, I strongly believe that there is different gospel. That's me only. Yeah. But I strongly believe that there is seven gospels throughout the Bible. There are seven of them.
I agree with you, John. Okay. Verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. That's interesting. It's like, you know, there's people in heaven by now.
Yep.
And you know that this is pointed to people that dwell on earth. Otherwise, it wouldn't have said it like that.
So, by the way, not on Mars.
Not on Mars.
No.
Not on Devon Island either. No. Okay, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So, yeah, every language. Everybody will hear that. Saying, in case we're wondering if it's going to be audible, with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So if anybody's questioning who God is here, this is God the Son.
There will be no ambiguity.
Don't be an earth worshiper. Right. Don't be an earth worshiper. Don't be a green worshiper like a lot of people are.
The tree of earth.
Planet. Save the planet, Bob.
Yeah. I love the trees.
Okay, so let's go into final
Another
thoughts.
Question?
Our final thoughts. We can go around, and then if we want, we can do one more question. We're
well, I'm not, we I don't know, but people want to more uptime, overtime.
Okay, we'll call it overtime.
Hold on. Bob got a question. There's one question that's out there for John. It says watchdog.
Okay. Let's put it up. We're going into overtime, folks.
Where'd it go?
Oh, no.
Did you see that one? It wasn't too long ago.
Okay.
Oh, I don't
it
see
it. It says, that. Just keep going up. It says.
John Murph?
1 second. Keep going. This is dead air, isn't it?
Do you remember the basis of the question?
Kind of.
I'm not as knowledgeable as these guys.
So. Here it is. Okay. Question. Oliver here to the watchdog about having to die once and then judgment. What about Lazarus and others the Lord raised from the dead? Did they have to die again? What happened to them?
It's a good one. Good question. Yeah. Love it.
Well, dying once, it's given to men to die only once. It's not a bad thing. It's a privilege. You got to see it this way, because you have time to make your time before you die, or rapture in our case, because we're close to it. It's a privilege to die once. That means if you go to hell, you cannot die again. You'll be alive there, and that's it. You're going to have to suffer.
Yeah.
I would have to study about Lazarus. Maybe he got privileged twice.
Yeah.
He died once.
Here's a question.
Well, one thing that he didn't do is that he didn't die and then get judged. Okay. It says that men are appointed to die once and then the judgment. Okay.
That's right.
So he did not die and then go to the judgment. As a matter of fact, Jesus raised him from the dead 4 days later after he died, and he was able to continue to live. And when he died, he is actually still to this day awaiting resurrection.
You're right. That's the answer. Okay. Man.
That is the answer.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Now you just
technically, yes.
The combination is a combo meal.
Here's another spin on that with Lazarus. Was he appointed to die, or was it Jesus just saying, you know what, like I could have been there earlier to save him, but I'm doing this for you guys. He's sick. And they're like, is he dead? Is he asleep? He'll get better, all this stuff. And Jesus is like, okay, I did this for you guys to show you something, to teach you a lesson.
He physically let him die, yes.
Let him die. And then he got there and he rose him from the dead. So that wasn't his appointed time to die like everyone else, which eventually Lazarus did die eventually.
Right.
His appointed.
Right. And thank you, Kevin. I'm going to sleep so well tonight.
It wasn't a permanent.
There's multiple reasons. Shane gave another good reason. So there's, you know, yeah. I mean, you have to remember that what it's talking about is like, you're no longer going to live anymore. And now you're going to judgment. And yeah. that only happens once. You only die and go to judgment once. Yeah. Lazarus died, didn't go to judgment. Yeah. So that wasn't the appointed time for him to die and go to judgment. He did that. He's doing that. He did that. He already died. He's still.
And Jesus also said to Martha, if you believe in me, you will never die. Do you believe this? And then we see a pocket of people that have died. And they're, from what I understand, looks like they're asleep. When you look at Revelation, where the sea coughs up its dead and the earth cough up its dead. Mm-hmm. And then they're judged. Mm-hmm. Those people are before the Lamb's Book of Life, and none of them's name is in there. None of them. So to me, these ones are appointed. They die, judgment.
Right. That's my answer to that is essentially what it looks like to me. It's like the same people that have these near-death experiences. Clinically dead. Okay, mm-hmm. Some clinically dead, and they get resurrected in a morgue. Okay, that's happened. So what happens here? The way I see it, from my limited mind, way I see it is like Kevin said, it's not their appointed time one, but when you die and go to judgment, it's a permanent separation from your body until the resurrection.
That's right? Your appointment.
Permanent separation. Lazarus wasn't a permanent separation. God knew that. So whatever was going on between him and his body, it wasn't a complete permanent separation. He didn't close the deal.
Yeah, that's a good point, because when you talk about clinical and stuff, like people dying, like let's just say in the ambulance, and they're trying to jumpstart you a whole bunch of times. Mm-hmm. What do we say when the person makes it to the hospital and they're actually alive? Well, it wasn't meant to be. He's alive.
You know what? Not one person that's ever been through that experience came back and said, I was judged by God.
No.
Notice that.
You're right.
Nobody had ever gotten there. They say, I saw a light. Or I saw this, or I got this message.
It's not your time.
There wasn't a final judgment put upon them.
If we're saved, we go to the judgment seat of Christ. If we're not saved, you go to the great white
throne. You go to the great white throne.
Yep.
That's right. And that's actually way down the road. One thing I have to mention, because someone put this in chat. At me, it says the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's not a combination of the three. It's either or. I don't ever recalling saying that it was all three in conjunction with each other. I don't recall ever saying that on Uptime at all. So, but thank you for reminding all of us that it is.
It could be separated. Yes, I believe that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fully aware of that. But once again, I don't dwell on that because I'm not going to be here.
Yep.
JD Edwards has a bunch of good questions tonight, and we haven't. Can you pick one from him? He really have a very thoughtful questions somewhere in the chat there.
I probably didn't see it.
If you can find some of them and write some of them down, that we can take them next week because we got
We can do that.
So let's get into final thoughts.
Yes.
So we'll go in reverse order. We'll go Kevin, John, Bob, and then I'll wrap it up with a nice.
I'm going to wrap it up real quick for my final thoughts. I enjoyed tonight a lot. I enjoy being with you brothers, and just stay encouraged to anyone who's watching this. Stay encouraged. We are almost finished. Amen.
Amen. Nice.
John.
I second Kevin for the light up that he did to me tonight. I'm more enlightened for a lot of stuff. See, that's what it's all about, reading, studying the Bible. Make sure you know 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Yep. That's the gospel. Not the who, but the what. How can you be saved? It's by the blood of Christ. Remember that, guys. I really enjoyed tonight, too. Have a good week.
Awesome.
Amen. Bob. Incredible show tonight. Great questions. Enjoy being with you guys every week. Hopefully, we'll continue this in the heavens. Okay. But I always like to say, you know, when the Passover spirit, death spirit showed up to their home, What did they look at? They didn't look at the sinner behind the door. They look at the blood over the door. And today, that blood over the door is indwelling Holy Spirit, the truth that dwells within us, which is the reason why we call ourselves sinners, and we are repulsed with ourselves. So if you feel repulsed with yourself, if you're angry with yourself, and you know if Jesus came and looked at you right now, you just put your head down like, man, you don't look at me right now. If that's how you feel, the truth is within you. Okay, because you know you're a wretched old man, just like me, all of us here, man. So you are in a great position, and when that trumpet goes off, that light will change you from the inside out, as the Bible says in Romans 10, 8, 10, 11, 12. Okay?
No more stinkiness.
Amen. Yeah.
I do have one more thing to say, and that is because Greg is not here, I'm sure he's going to watch this. Greg, thank you for starting Uptime 4 years ago.
Yes.
Good one. I second that
so much.
Third, fourth.
No, you're supposed to say first, Bob. You always say first. You always comment first. I'm first. Even if I'm 100th, I'm first.
Yes.
But you know what? The first is going to be the last. So don't comment that.
That's good.
Last. The last will be first.
All right. So
thank you, sir.
You guys. Did you wrap up, Bob? Did you?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, you did. Okay, good. You're done. You're finished. Okay. Thanks, guys, for being on here. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Greg and Bob, of course, for allowing us to be on here. Like, this is awesome. This is amazing. And I miss Michael and obviously Bob, other Bob, Bob Hagen, and some of the other guys as well. It's kind of cool. But sometimes people aren't always available and everything. And, tonight, it was good. There's just four of us, and I think we had a chance to get close and to know each other a little bit more, and hopefully the audience, you know, felt our love for them and also for Christ as well, because we're trying to do our best as well each day when we're sharing the gospel. None of this stuff is rehearsed. None of it. I even try and hint, what are we going to talk about, guys? They're like, rolling, here comes the plane. It's coming. Like, the animation's there. So it's unscripted, and I think personally that is the beautiful thing about what's going on here at Uptime Community Church. It's unscripted, uncensored, the whole works. Almost uncensored. But thanks again, guys, and if you guys stick around in the back, we'll chit-chat in the back. But thanks to the audience as well. Appreciate all your comments. There's never too crazy of comments, I don't think, unless you get banned.
No, you guys are
crazy. So. But yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
God bless everybody. Hopefully we'll see you in the air instead of next Tuesday. If not, next Tuesday. Amen.
Amen. Au revoir.
Let's land this plane.